This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 132. Can a comic collector of 20 plus years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Well, thank you, AnnouncerBot, and welcome to How I Got My Wife to Read Comics. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. And just as a reminder, we are on Facebook. You can find our fan page by searching for How I Got My Wife to Read Comics. You can also go to sfpodcastnetwork.com for the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, or go to iTunes and search for How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, where you can leave us a review.
And you can contact us through the website, Facebook, or email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Finally, you can call the voice line at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. It's a big Bat Week.
The Bat Week, yes.
And it starts with Batman the Return from Morrison and Finch.
And yes, I know I said last week I was not going to read any more Grant Morrison. However, you asked me to read these this week, so I did.
Right. And I thought it was surprisingly lucid for a Grant Morrison book.
And that is what I said, too. I said, hey, I actually understood what was going on.
It kind of started with a nature documentary on bats for a few pages. I still don't really understand what the bell is about. They never really explain that Bruce is holding a bell and he's mortally wounded and all this. So we're now at the point where Bruce brings a team together in the Batcave and he has plans for everybody. So Oracle is going to get the first crack at Internet 3.0 that Wayne Enterprises is sponsoring or whatever is bringing out. Stephanie is going to get a new costume, which looked kind of similar to the Batgirl costume in the recent movies. And apparently she's also going to England.
To boarding school. Now, this I didn't understand. What about her mother?
Right.
Doesn't her mother have some say in this?
She got a scholarship to this boarding school.
But she and her mother have just started getting along.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe
the mom goes along for the ride.
Well, I would, hope that she had some input into the decision.
One would hope. And so then Dick and Damian will stay in Gotham City as Batman and Robin. And Batman Bruce will now tour the world and coordinate things.
And find new Batmen to install.
Right. So he's using the Wayne Tech money, because remember, they've now stated publicly that Bruce Wayne is funding Batman.
Right.
And so they're going to use the Wayne Tech to create robot soldiers. And what is interesting is a reference to the G.I. Robot program, which is an old war comic book concept from DC. It was a G.I. robot.
Right. Now, I have a question about that. When he's walking around talking to Lucien Fox about the Batman stuff, it almost seems like Lucien Fox knows. Now, he doesn't know. He's not in the know.
Right.
But he might suspect that Bruce Wayne was Batman, and he goes along with pretending not to know. Is that right?
I think that's what it is. It's the same thing as Commissioner Gordon.
All right.
You know Commissioner Gordon knows. He just doesn't want to come right out and say, and it's like, well, when he wants to bring me into the inner circle officially, he'll do it. So he's going to implement new bat caves all over the world. And of course, every time there's some change in Batman, there has to be a new suit. And so now this one is an all gray and black suit, except for when going back to the yellow and black symbol on the chest. Also, it almost looks like the utility belt is almost like connected to a cod piece or something. And we see a new villain, Leviathan, we don't know too much about, but is somehow related to the Middle East. We don't find out what happened to the insider suit.
Or where it came from in the first
right.
place.
We know, still know nothing about that. But all of this leads right into Batman Incorporated #1 by Morrison and Paquette. Bruce and Selina go to Japan. And Bruce is going there to meet Mr. Unknown, who he thinks is could be a good possibility to be the new Batman of Japan, except Mr. Unknown is dead. There's really great artwork here. I really, really like that. And there's a really cute sequence where Selina is discovering manga.
Yes.
And there's one shot where she's like holding the book in front of her hand with like this shocked look on her face. We also get to meet Lord Deathman. Now, this is the thing you see, at least in DC, with Japanese heroes and villains. They're all like something something man, da-da-da-da man. I mean, kind of over-explain what they are, man.
Yes.
Which I assume is just bad translation.
One or, would think so, yes.
Something. There's this guy who's apparently Mr. Unknown's sidekick or something to that effect.
Yes.
Who comes in and finds Mr. Unknown dead and all these guys around him, and he runs off, and now all the bad guys are trying to find him, and he has a girlfriend that the bad guys go grab, and she's put into this death trap, and that's kind of how the issue ends, with Selina and this girl end up in an octopus tank.
Now, is the reason that Bruce took Selina along merely as camouflage and arm candy, or why would he take her along?
I think this is the official test.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's like, okay, she really on the side of good. Gotham City Sirens, where she's hanging out with Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy, and it's like, is she really on the side of good? And he's trying to determine that once and for all.
Okay.
Because everything for Batman is a test. He always has to test people.
Gotcha.
Brightest Day, number 14.
Which is also Batman-themed.
Right. By Johns, Tomasi, Rice, and Prado. Now, I haven't, for the most part, been all that impressed with Brightest Day. Not nearly as much as I was with Blackest Night, mainly because it just keeps spreading out. And it seems to be meandering to some extent. There's so many characters they have to hit and keep the storylines moving on, is you never make much progress on any one hero. And it almost seems like, because they have to be syncing with other events in the other comics, there's a lot of vamping going on. There's a lot of, okay, we really can't have anything go on. We know there has to be this thing about Batman being a White Lantern for a short period of time, but we can't do that until the whole Batman Incorporated happens.
Right.
So Deadman and Dove find Batman, and Deadman needed to find Batman because he wants to give him the White Ring, which he does, and Bruce becomes temporarily the White Lantern. Unfortunately, Deadman is killed again, and the White Ring returns to Boston Brand to save him. But during this time, Bruce sees the 12. He sees everything as the White Lantern, including Max Lord. So now he knows again what Max Lord did, and at the end, there's a reference to Batman calling somebody and saying, we need to talk about Max Lord. So more and more of the heroes are re-remembering Max Lord, and that will have a big impact in Justice League Generation Lost. Green Lantern 59 by Johns and Mankey. Black Hand returns with the Indigo Tribe, and we learn a little bit about the Indigo Tribe, the idea that they basically take bad guys, for the lack of a better term, and give them compassion. So people without compassion, and they give them that emotion.
So long as they have the ring, but if they take the ring away, they no longer have the compassion.
Right. So Flash, Barry Allen, confronts Hal about who he's hanging out with, like Trussicus and Larfleeze and all these people. It's like, what are you doing? And there's this long discussion that goes on, and Hal's saying, you know, I realize that I don't want to include anybody else in this. It's my responsibility to handle, because I don't want to get anybody else hurt by Parallax and all this. And meanwhile, Salak and the Guardians back on Oa have realized they're not getting reports. Apparently, the rings are set to automatically send reports back to Oa on a regular basis, and Hal's is not, saying that there's any major activity going on, which is very suspicious. And apparently, Hal has just turned off that capability on the ring because of what he's doing. And so the Guardians say, well, we're going to have to monitor Hal. We're going to have to do something. And Salak suggests that maybe it would be better that another human is the person who is going to monitor him.
Right.
So Barry fears that Hal is going down to the dark side and fears for Hal's life, and that's enough for Parallax to take over Barry. And in the last panel, Parallax has now taken over Barry Allen. And so next issue will obviously be a big battle between Hal and Barry slash Parallax.
Yes.
Some of the Green Lantern stuff I've really liked. Some of it, you know, it does seem to be also meandering a little bit. It seems like these storylines could be moved forward a little faster. I don't know.
Well, I think they just have so many things tying into Brightest Day. They have to, and a limited amount of story,
mm-hmm.
that they have to parse out a little bit of story to each one, and so nothing moves it along very quickly.
Right. I mean, you have a situation today where there's three Green Lantern books. It's the first time it's ever been three Green Lantern ongoing. You got Green Lantern, you got Green Lantern Corps, you got Green Lantern Emerald Warriors.
And then you also have the Brightest Day title itself.
That is majorly involved in all that. And so, yeah, you're right. I mean, you are almost at the point where, is there enough Green Lantern storyline to go around to cover all that? DCU Legacies number 7 by Len Wein and Dan Jurgens. So this issue is essentially the 90s in a nutshell. A much darker period. This is where Bane destroys Batman, breaks his back, but of course he returns. There's Doomsday and the death of Superman. And the thing that lessened it for me is that Jurgens was the one who did the original Death of Superman issue. So it's almost as if they photocopied artwork. I know they didn't, but it doesn't give you any new information that you didn't already have, literally. It's just like, here's the events, ding, 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 ding.
Right.
And having the Death of Superman done by the same author, it was the same artist. So we also see a backup story from the Atom and the Time Pool, which is an old Silver Age concept that Ray Palmer knows this other professor who's kind of scatterbrained, but he has somehow figured out a way to create this pool that you can go through time in. Atom goes back to the days of Camelot, and we see appearances by the Shining Knight, the Silent Knight, and Etrigan.
Yes.
Now, the Silent Knight, I thought, was always an interesting character. He was probably in, like, Adventure Comics and some of the other, you know, anthology series. You'd see him as a Silver Age character. The concept being that it's this guy who's a peasant type guy who decides he needs to help people, but he's also worried that people are going to recognize his voice when he goes out and does stuff. So he never talks as the Silent Knight. All the dialogue, as it were, is him thinking. I'm curious how they're going to wrap all this up. And because we keep seeing this parallel storyline of this guy who's a cop and his ne'er-do-well brother who's now trying to be good and various events happening in his life. But and I've said this before, but I really had hoped this was going to be more of a retelling and explaining how everything fits together.
Yes.
And it really isn't. And in fact, in this case, they're basically saying that Bane breaking Batman's back and the death of Superman is happening literally at the same time.
That's what I read from this, too.
Like, the same week. It's like, that's not how it happened.
Yeah. And it seemed like Bruce came back from the broken back really quickly.
Right.
I know that it was Azrael for
right,
a while,
right?
Right. But still in all,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it just seemed awfully quick to just kind of blow through that.
Yeah.
Superman Batman number 78 by Kelly and Bennis. And the main story is the classic schoolyard argument where these two kids are arguing who wins in a fight, Superman or Batman. And so they decide, well, we need to set the rules. There'll be no kryptonite. There'll be no killing. There'll be no magic. And there'll be no Batmite or Mixplick.
Yes.
So just the two of them, mano a mano. And the next question is, why are they fighting? Well, is it over a chick? Well, no, that really wouldn't work out. And there's a really cute panel of, like, Wonder Woman looking pensive, and they're just, like, walking away from her.
Yeah. And, you know, this is all happening in the kids' heads.
In the kids' heads. It's like they're kind of making up the comic in their heads.
But it's really neat because you get to see, you know, how that would play out in the comic,
right.
You know?
And then there's this revenge panel where Robin is, like, on this stretcher with like a rocket in his chest.
Yes.
And Batman's like, well, I have to go and you know, I have to stop this. And like, nah, that really doesn't make any sense.
Well, it's like Superman says, well, you'll just swear to revenge. You'll go after the guy. You'll almost kill him. And then you won't.
Which is exactly right. And is it something about JLA membership? Well, no. And there's some really great dialogue at this point where, and this is the kids saying what the characters would be saying. So Batman is saying, well, I work better alone. Well, if you don't count Robin, Batgirl, Batwoman, Azrael, the other Robin, Nightwing, Oracle, the Outsiders.
Yeah.
And Superman says, you know, this is all referring to the JLA. Honestly, I only hang out with you guys because it's fun. I'm kind of more powerful than all of you combined. It's very funny. And then finally, they agree that there's really no reason for Superman and Batman to fight.
Right.
You know, and while this is all going on, Bruce and Clark have been watching this from above. And there's a really cute bit at the end where Bruce is like, well, that's pretty close to how I would defeat you.
Yeah, and Superman says something like, what part was right? Batman just silent. Batman, I know you're just messing with my head. Seriously, what part?
And then we have a Power Girl Huntress backup story by McMurray and Booth. Now, of course, they were a team on Earth 2 in the 70s, mm-hmm. back in the All-Star Comics title. Or when the JSA was around, you saw them together. But, of course, this is really not like the Earth 2 team because on Earth 2 they were best friends and, you know, all this. Now they're just like...
Well, and Huntress was an entirely different person.
She wasn't.
She was the son or the
daughter of Bruce Wayne. Yeah.
And here she's, you know, Helena Bertinelli.
Right. So it also wasn't the greatest artwork either. I wasn't very impressed with that. It seemed kind of hurried.
I didn't like... the story,
no.
for the most part. It was kind of sad. And...
Well, that's the thing. It was kind of a bummer story after the great main story.
Yeah.
So you're seeing a lot of these backup stories, and I think what's happening is, you know, because right now DC is moving away from officially doing the second feature stuff because they're going back to $2.99 for the prices and reducing the size of comics. But I think they're just trying to clear out all these backup stories that they accumulated in the assumption they were going to need these for a long time. So there have been a lot of these that have been kind of knocking off. Again, not the greatest second story, but what are you going to do?
But it was a really good first story.
Oh, absolutely. All right, before we get out of here, I think it's time to play America's fastest growing new game show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly? Now, I have to say, Mark, I'm a little disappointed in Entertainment Weekly lately because I haven't been getting it until the middle of the next week.
Oh, geez.
So I haven't gotten my Entertainment Weekly yet, but I did look online for who's on the cover.
Okay.
So I'm ready.
Okay.
I think.
You're ready? There. Movie related?
Yes.
Is it a movie coming out?
Yes.
Okay. Is there one person on the cover?
No.
Two people on the cover?
Yes.
Man and a woman?
Yes.
Okay. Are they over 50?
No.
Over 40?
No.
Over 30?
No.
Over 20?
Yes.
Okay. Over 20s. Is it something genre related? The movie?
Not really, no.
Okay. Is it like a comedy?
Yes.
Okay. In their 20s?
Like a rom-com.
Oh, a rom-com. Okay. Somebody in their 20s. I think there's a number of those coming out. Okay. Is the girl blonde?
No.
She's brunette.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think.
All right. But she's generally.
Yes.
Okay. Understand the actresses change their hair color a lot. Is the guy a blonde?
No.
He's brunette then?
Yes.
Okay.
He's not a ginger.
Okay. Let's see. Are either of them like Academy Award winners?
I think one of them is.
Okay. The man?
Yes.
Okay.
I think he is. He was at least nominated, I'm sure.
Okay. Is the woman mostly known for romantic comedy?
Yes.
Okay.
Now she is.
Brunette. Is she like from like the Disney TV shows? Like
no.
Used to be on? Okay.
She has, however, been in a Disney movie.
She's been in a Disney movie.
I'm saying that because you only have 6 seconds left.
Oh, geez. Brunette. I don't know.
It would be Anne Hathaway, who was in The Princess Diaries.
Okay.
And Jake Gyllenhaal.
Ah.
And they have some rom-com coming out.
Okay.
I don't know what the name of it is.
Yeah.
I think it's a rom-com.
I would assume. Yeah.
I don't know. I've come to the conclusion, Mark, and I think we discussed this last week when I didn't know the movie that was on the cover last week.
Yeah.
I've come to the conclusion that I'm out of the loop on movies now that I do Netflix rather than go to the theater.
Well, that could be. Yeah. Yeah. We don't go to the movies very often anymore because of that.
I'm just saying.
Just saying. Okay. Want to remind you about that Facebook fan page. Search for How I Got My Wife to Read Comics. Go to sfpodcastnetwork.com for the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs. Or go to iTunes and search for How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, and please leave us a review.
You can contact us through the website, Facebook, or email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, or call our voice line at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.